want to share a shorter message with you today. Don't all applaud at once, all right? So we're going to keep it shorter because I want to bring them back out again. And what's been on my heart for this morning is really, really a simple, short message anyway. And so what we want to do is open up to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're going to be in chapter 6. And as you turn there, I want us to be thinking about heart again. Because Jesus goes after heart again and again and again and again. It's the one thing that he repeats in a bunch of different ways. And we're in the Sermon of the Mount. If you're new to Fairhaven, we are in the Gospel of Matthew for this entire year. And the reason we're going to be in for the entire year is because we take seriously the ways and the words of Jesus. Unapologetically, we are going to chase hard after the ways and the words of Jesus. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to learn it, and then we want to do it. And so the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read the first four verses. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I'm going to stop there. There are two other stories here that we're going to jump into as well. And the stories are that on prayer, or the analogy that Jesus gives is one on prayer. And the other one is on fasting, trying to get at the same thing. In each case, he's saying, do not be like the hypocrites. And when you hear the word hypocrite, what comes to mind for you? Because for me, when I hear that word, I think I want to distance myself from that word. I don't want any part to do with that word. I don't ever want to be labeled that. I don't want to be seen as that. I don't want to associate with that word when it comes to who I am. And it's because I looked it up and it didn't get any better or change my mind about it. When we think about the word hypocrite, here's a definition of what it is. It's a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs. In other words, it is a person who says the right things but does the wrong things. I mean, who wants to be that? Somebody that says, this is who I am, but you're really not. You're living in a completely different way. I say the right things, but I'm not doing the right things. So, is that what Jesus was saying? When we read this scripture, and he says prayer, and he says giving of alms, and he says that when we fast, that we should not be like the hypocrites. Is that what he's saying? Don't be a person who says the right things, but does the wrong things. And the answer is no. That is not what Jesus was actually saying. Because when we read it, and let's just read a section of it again. When you give to the needy, somebody that says the right things but doesn't do them, he's saying when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do, which means the hypocrites were actually giving to the needy. They actually gave to them. If we fast forward to verse 5, we read this. When you pray, Jesus said, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray. It's not that they're not doing it. They're not just talking about it. They're actually doing it. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by others. Verse 16 says this. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. It's not that they're saying one thing and doing another. They're actually doing it. They're actually fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. So they are doing the right thing. Jesus is saying something other than just don't say the
one thing and do another. So our definition of hypocrite typically is this: a person who says the right things but does the wrong things. The definition of hypocrisy or a hypocrite in the days of Jesus was actually this: a person who did the right things, but for the wrong reason. It's a person who is doing the right stuff, just from the wrong heart, for the wrong reason. Jesus is trying to say your why is as important as your what. Your heart behind it, what's going on the inside, is just as important as what is happening on the outside. Go back to the top here, and we see the first verse we read. Jesus said, be careful. Be careful. This one can get tricky. You can get out there doing all the right stuff. You can even fool yourself. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others in order to be seen by them. Your why, if it becomes in order to be seen by them, it's the wrong why. Your why ought to connect with your what. Those two things ought to be in tandem with one another. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. Now, there were three things that the Jewish people in the days of Jesus would have practiced, their righteousness that would have got lived out in the public arena. They had three things they would have done that were the practicing of your public righteousness in the days of Jesus. Any guess as to what they were? We're talking about them. Giving to the poor, and you would have also prayed. And then finally, you would have fasted. These three things would have been your public expression of this inward thing that was going on. Jesus talked about this stuff all the time. Giving to the needy, high on the radar for him. He had a conversation with a guy that was saying, I want to taste, I want to know the kingdom of God. What must I do to taste eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? To the rich young ruler, he said, well, what have you done? What have you done? He's like, I've kept the commands all my life. What else? What else have you done? He shared what he had done since he was young. And Jesus said, if you want to know the best way to live, it is a generous life. There's something that happens when you give. When your why on the inside matches the what on the outside. When your internal matches your external. Take everything you have and give it to the poor. And your life, oh, you're going to taste the presence of God in a powerful way. We have a modern example of that. Mother Teresa did that. Why do you live on the streets of Calcutta? She was asked when she was alive. Why do you live on the streets of Calcutta? This is Mother Teresa. She was the nun. She could have gone anywhere. She chose among the most destitute on planet Earth. Why? Her answer was, here's why. Because I want to be with Jesus. And this is where Jesus is most powerfully. Her what matched her why on the inside. When you think about prayer, what else did Jesus talk about but praying to his disciples in the conversation where they're saying, we want to learn how to pray. We've been watching John's disciples and they have a leg up on us. Jesus, can you teach us to pray? And in this chapter that we read a portion of, Jesus began to roll out a model for prayer called the Lord's Prayer. Here's how you pray. When you pray, address God as holy. When you pray, think about your dependence for even your daily bread. When you pray, whatever that prayer looks like, make sure that it honors God and ask God that your living here on earth might be like that in heaven. That your why on the inside is going to match your what on the outside. And then fasting. Jesus didn't say if on all of these. There was an expectation. There was this understanding that if you're really wanting to be someone that chases hard after the ways and the words of Jesus, if you really want to be a follower of Jesus, he didn't say if you give to the needy. He didn't say if you pray. He didn't say if you fast.
There was this assumption that when you do this, because this is what we do, when you give, because a generous life is the best life to live, when you pray for and just because you want to bask in the presence of God, when you fast, something about fasting does something to us that our dependency in God, when we begin to feel the hunger on the inside, it reminds us that even the food that I eat is a gift from God and drives us to dependency. Jesus was saying these three are examples of what is supposed to be happening, that your why should match your what. When you do this, don't do it like the hypocrites. Well, what was he talking about? Because clearly he had a different understanding of a hypocrite than we do. Well, this word actually got birthed during the days of Jesus in that era. And it comes out of the understanding of the Greek actors of the day. What they would do is they would put a mask on. They would do, if they did it right, if they did all the right things as an actor, it was engaging, it was entertaining, it could actually make you lean in and begin to think that person is someone that they're not. And Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites, the actors. Don't be like them. It wasn't a bad thing. Just don't be like them, because it becomes a bad thing when your why and your what don't match up. And the reason that you're doing this has nothing to do with actually caring for the people around you. It has nothing to do with actually caring about a deep relationship with God and actually praying for your brothers and your sisters and your community that you live in, when it has nothing to do with you actually making yourself more dependent upon God and deepening that relationship. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't be an actor. It looks good, but what good is it? That's the word from Jesus. And his call, his invitation then for us is this. Come and just be real. Be real. Because the joy is actually in the journey. The joy is in the journey. When your why matches your what, you're going to be living a life that is filled with blessings. I had an opportunity just a few weeks ago to have a conversation with a member of our church, and I asked for permission to share this story. And the reason I asked is because it's a story that has some depth to it, and I never want to share somebody else's story. In fact, there are two people that I asked permission to share this story, because it's about a dance of grace between two people that gets at this. It's not about prayer necessarily. It's not about fasting necessarily. It's not about giving alms necessarily, but it is about what Jesus was trying to get at with these three things that all the Jewish people were practicing. He was saying, make sure your why matches your what. And in conversation with her at a thing we call the Blessed Lab, many of you have been through it. If you haven't been through it, this is a story that may encourage you next time we do it. I would love for our entire church to go through it, because it's a way of living that we actually use our lives poured out for others. And she began to share that she said to the group that she wasn't actually sure why she joined the group, except that she felt compelled by God to join the group. And so she joined. And then we asked them to begin with prayer. Start praying for people that God might use you to bless somebody with your story and with who you are. And she began to pray, and she's like, I just put a list of names down. I didn't know which ones, but it felt like all those names that are put on the list, they weren't the right ones, that God actually had somebody else for me, and I didn't know who. Well, then a few weeks ago, she shared her story and began to talk about some of the pain in her life, some of the hurt that was in her life. And she said, I don't want to waste my pain. I don't want to waste my hurt. That God saw me through some difficult, difficult stuff. And I just wonder, is there somebody, now that I've experienced healing from God and I've experienced Him stepping in to the worst of my story, Is there somebody out there that I could come alongside of? And she said, that's what I'm praying for. Didn't have a name for it. Within 18 hours, I was on the phone with a person. Now, I've shared a bunch of times here that I have stories. You have stories. We actually all have the same story. It's just different detail. I really believe that to be true, that we were all apart from God and He brought us in. We all experience brokenness and God brings healing. We all have our stuff. And God has this ability with grace to heal and restore us. And yet in this story, as I listened to the detail on her story, and I was on the phone and knowing she's been praying for somebody, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This story not only is the same story almost, but the detail around it is so similar. And then I asked, would it be okay if I made a connection with somebody else who's traveled this road just ahead of you? That's it. They're just ahead of you on the journey. And same story, but God is in the process of restoring and healing and blessing, and she wants to be a blessing. And she started to cry, this woman on the phone, and said, I would love that. So I reached out to them this week because they've met together and they've spent time together and they've listened to each other. And I just said, can I share the story? And they said, absolutely. Both were like, yes, God can use our story. This is from the one I was on the phone with. She said, I am more than okay with you sharing. I am so grateful for God putting us in each other's path. It has truly been a blessing for me. I am so grateful that this person that she had never met, who was praying, can you just use my story, God? Use it to bless somebody else. There's the right why, right? That's it. I just want my life to make a difference in somebody's else. And God went, I can answer that within 18 hours. He's making this connection. And to have her say, I am so grateful for her, that God put her in my life. And it has been a true blessing for me. I think that's what Jesus was getting at. He's just saying, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't just do the what. Get the why. Get the inside to match the outside. And then give your life away and watch what God can do. Let's pray together. Lord, we bless you for being the kind of God that can do restorative work, because we all needed it. You're a healer. We all needed it. You're a way maker, as we already sang. When there was no way, you made a way. It's called the cross. It's called the resurrection. You made a way. Your arm has not shrunken its ability to reach out and restore. It's touched every one of us in this room. You spoke to those that would listen and saying, when you are doing whatever it is you're doing, whether it's giving, it's praying, whether it's fasting, whatever it is, make sure you don't have a disconnect. Make sure it's coming from a heart that is welled up with gratitude to God. And so we would ask, by move of your Spirit, come now. May we be those people for your glory and for the betterment of the world that we live in, one person after time. We pray this in your name. Amen.